facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, we've got that Friday feeling. It is the 30th of July here on The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call to talk to me toll free. Calls on me. That all rhymed. That was great. Didn't even plan that. And I'm going to tell you, this show is on fuego. It is on fuego. We are coming in hot today. I can't wait. We've got so much to get to. We're going to talk about the very surprising lessons that Catholics can learn from Simone Biles' withdrawal from the Olympics, which everybody is talking about. Twitter is just going wild with this. What can we learn from this? There's a great spiritual lesson that's kind of hidden in all of this, which I want to share with you. That's coming up, so stay tuned for that. And if you want to call, once again, that number 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the show, kale@relevantradio.com. And speaking of Twitter, you can follow me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And I just got back. So this is a live show. We've had a couple of great encores this week. I just got back from the headquarters of Relevant Radio in Chicago. And for the first time, Patrick Alog, who's sitting in for Lucas Holt today, Lucas is on the road right now. Patrick, for the first time, I met Father Rocky in the flesh. And it was incredible. I gave him a big bear hug at the Relevant Radio headquarters, and I was so happy to meet him and so many other great folks who work at Relevant Radio. I met Josh Raymond. Yeah, the Josh Raymond. Yeah, I met him. Mike Kendall, one of the great VPs at Relevant Radio. Everybody. Steve Grossklaus. Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was kind of like Bill Swirsky's superfans, you know, getting together and just having a great time. I felt like I've known these guys all my life, but this is the first time we'd ever met in the flesh. Because of COVID, I did not even know what these guys were, how tall they were, how tall Father Rocky was. And I'm not going to tell you, that's a corporate secret, but he's a spiritual giant. I know that. We all know that. But it was just great. It was a wonderful time. And I am just stoked, though, to be back live on Relevant Radio. And I want to tell you, first of all, off the top, about six sins. Now, we've heard, of course, of the seven deadly sins, but did you know there are six sins that you probably didn't realize that you were committing on the regular? On the regular. Read an interesting piece on this by Leslie White from BeliefNet. And we're often very focused in on the big sins and avoiding those like the plague, as we should. We should avoid mortal sin, of course. But sometimes these sins we don't think about, they can creep up on us and do really almost just as much damage, if not worse, if we're not careful, than some of these deadly sins that are very much more obvious. Probably the best way to start this off is by defining what sin is. There's lots of different definitions of sins. But what the concept of sin is all about, probably a good definition is something that she points out in the article. It's missing the mark. Sin is really missing the mark. Think about archery in the Olympics. And I know Patrick Alog has been, if you follow him on Twitter, he has been tweeting nonstop. He's got about seven different screens going. He's watching every Olympic event under the sun.
Three. One of those, I have three.
Just three. Okay.
Phone, laptop, TV. If I had seven, I would, just to give you a heads up.
I know you would. And what's crazy about this is that, yeah, we all get into the Olympic fever and we start really, all of a sudden we care about the men's table tennis final. Like, and then as soon as it's over, we're going to forget about it for another 4 years. That's just the way it goes. But one of the events I was watching the other day was Olympic archery. I mean, aiming for that bullseye. And this is really what sin is. It's missing the mark. It's not hitting the center of the bullseye. It's not even hitting any of the circles. And so this is what happens. If you miss your shot, you don't get any points. And this is what happens with personal sin. Sometimes with the big sins, we unfortunately fall short. But we got to also pay attention to these six other little sins. And some of them are little. Some might be a little bit bigger than little. We don't always realize these things are sinful. So let me just run through them. And maybe you've never thought of this before. If you want to react to this, you can call in 1-888-914-9149. What are the six sins that we don't realize we're committing on the regular? Number one, fear. Fear. You think, well, being afraid, how is that a sin? Well, this is actually one of the biggest weapons that the enemy uses against us. We worry a lot. We are filled often with anxiety. And a lot of this is because of fear, because we're afraid. We're afraid of having to make a decision that might be a tough one, might be a life-changing decision. We're afraid sometimes to step into maybe dangerous situations because we don't know what's going to happen. These are things that are mentioned in the piece by Leslie White. But the Bible tells us over and over again, it's actually hard to keep track of exactly how many verses in the Bible, and if you know exactly how many, you can call in and tell me, where the phrase "do not fear" or "fear not" is used, and it is all over the place in the Old Testament and in the New. So in the Old Testament, here's just one example from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's Isaiah 41, 10. And of course, in the New Testament, how many times does Jesus say, "Don't fear, don't be afraid, it is I"? Peter's walking to him on the water, and he kind of loses sight of Jesus, looks at the waves, he begins to sink. And that's what happens when anxiety and fear overwhelm us at times. And Jesus, of course, reaches down, saves him, and says, "Hey, why did you doubt? Don't fear, it is I," when they see him walking on the waves. So this is something that Christ says over and over again in the scriptures. So that's number one. Fear can be a sin if we give into it. If we get into it. Well, what's courage? Courage is moving forward even though you feel the emotion of fear. It's pressing on. And we can really only do that when we trust God. So what's the second hidden sin, if you will, six sins that you didn't know necessarily that you might be guilty of? The second one is comfort. Comfort. Now that might be surprising to a lot of people. We love comfort. And this is a quote from Leslie White. "We love comfort. We like things to stay the way that we like them. Who really wants to be forced out of their comfort zone? But we can't make other people disciples of Christ when we're hooked on being comfortable." And I think comfort, having an excessive love of comfort, goes hand in hand with laziness. That's another vice, I think, that really is applicable here. Comfort, a love of comfort and laziness kind of go hand in hand. Spiritual laziness and sometimes other types of laziness. We can get comfortable in our own personal routines and our own personal situations, and we get our creature comforts, the way that we like to do things. And if our routine gets upset, our apple cart gets tipped over, we can get pretty irritable. Well, this can happen in the spiritual life too. And sometimes we don't want to step outside that comfort zone. But God has a habit of kind of nudging us right outside of that. So that's number two, comfort. What is the third of the six sins that you didn't know that you were committing? The third sin, and this is one that I'll raise my hand here. I am guilty as charged here. Worry. The third sin is worry. How can worry be a sin? Well, sometimes, and this is Leslie White writing here, we are often convinced that we can handle everything on our own. That gives us a false sense that we are in control. But the truth is that only God is in control. End of quote. I think this is the source of a lot of our worry. It's definitely the source of a lot of my worry. I worry a lot about different things. The future, what was that noise outside in the middle of the night? It could be anything. So I'm a worry wart. I get this from my mom. And how do I deal with this? Well, one thing that my wife has been trying to coach me up on, and our spouses are often great spiritual directors for us, she's just constantly telling me, "Hey, just remember, Jesus, I trust in you. the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Just constantly pray that little prayer. As simple as it may be, you've got to turn everything into his care. The scriptures say this, and this is our first pope, Pope Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So Jesus really wants us to give these things over to him. And sometimes we don't want to do that. We can't try. Are you really going to take care of this, Lord? So we're sometimes hesitant. We want to kind of, no, maybe I need to figure this out. No, really and truly entrust your problems to him. And take advantage of the fact that he wants to carry our burdens for us. So sometimes the emotion of worry, we can't necessarily control when it pops up. And it's the same thing with fear, but we can control what we do with it. We can control what our response is going to be. So I would say that excessive worry, I do agree with this, excessive worry can be sinful because it means that we're really not trusting God. And that's really what faith is all about at the end of the day. Faith, another word for faith is trust. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And there's a caller who just called in and didn't want to say this on the air, made the comment, do not worry or do not fear is in the Bible 365 times. I don't know if that's true or not. Caller who mentioned this to Jake Moore, who's taking your calls today on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. I don't know if it's true, but that would be very poetic if it were true. 365 times, one for every day of the year. I probably need to hear it about three times a day. Do not worry, do not fear. It's something God says to us all the time. So when it comes to what Jesus wants for us on this front, there's really two reasons why we shouldn't worry at the end of the day. Number one, it's because of who we are. It's because of who we are. I like that. I like what Leslie White says about that. It's because of who we are. We are children of God. We are his sons and daughters. And Jesus says, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Well, we are. And sometimes we really don't believe that. Sometimes we really don't believe that we're that important to God and that somehow he's lost control of the situation. The universe is spinning out of control. No. He knows the very number of hairs on our head. He takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of us. So when we worry, we're kind of diminishing our own value, as Leslie White puts it. So we're sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the King. Remember who you are. Of course, he cares for us. So that's the first reason why we worry. We forget our identity. And the second reason that we often worry is because, the reason not to worry is because it gets us nowhere. It doesn't help. Worrying has no benefit to us, other than maybe shortening our lifespan. Jesus says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Matthew 6:27. So, and clearly you can't, or add another cubit to your height. I can't grow another inch. I could stretch myself out on a rack, you know, torture style. I'm still not going to be tall enough to play in the NBA. I was not drafted last night again, so I'm back here behind the mic. I somehow wasn't drafted as a free agent in the NBA draft last night. So I can't add an inch to my height, and I cannot add an hour to my life by worrying. It's not going to help, but it might take something off of my life if I'm worried and stressed about things all the time. So, and yeah, I know that there may be psychological issues too, and that's part of health, mental health, health of the brain. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about Simone Biles and what Catholics can learn from what she did in pulling out of the Olympics. And it's actually not what you might think. So just hang tight for that. But I think part of the issue is, yeah, there may be some counseling that we might need, but sometimes we just need to trust God a little bit more, just a little bit more. So that's number three. So we're talking again on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio about six sins that you didn't necessarily know that you were committing or guilty of. So we talked about number one, which was fear. Number two, comfort, an excessive love of comfort. Number three, worry. And what's the fourth sin that we don't often realize we're committing? Gluttony. Gluttony. And this is according to an article by Leslie White. And she writes, we often associate gluttony with weight and food, but it's bigger than that. It's actually a condition of the heart, gluttony. When we are gluttonous, we try to find everything we can to fill the void that God is supposed to fulfill. This takes our focus away from Jesus, the one we truly need. End of quote. I think that's a good point. Very often the overeating or the overindulging is a symptom of something much larger. You're trying to fill a gap that you really can't fill with anything in the created world because you're made for something more. C.S. Lewis said, "If we have a desire in us that nothing in this created world can satisfy, the only answer must be, we were made for another world." St. Augustine, in his magnificent masterwork, The Confessions, at the very beginning of that book, he says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." We're going to go to the phones right now. Call 1-888-914-9149 if you want to have a take on this. We're going to go to Jerry, who's in Frankfort, Illinois. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Cale, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm great. Good to be talking to you.
Good to talk to you. You're brilliant. And I'm calling. I was telling you the person there. I worry. It's the top thing that I say in confession is, please help me not to let this be sinful. How could I have faith, which I do, and how could I have trust, which I do, but to practice not worrying so darn much and just saying, you know what, I put it in your hands. I mean, I wrestle with that, and for you to really quantify it, to say it like that, on behalf of everyone, I can't thank you enough, because that's a real worry of mine.
You and me both, Jerry. My brother, we are in this together, and thank you for your kind words. I'll tell you one other thing, too, Jerry, on this. A little book that has helped me tremendously. It's really tiny. It's really thin. Doesn't take too long to read it. This book has helped me more than you could possibly imagine. So for those listening out there, if you're struggling with worry, there's a little book by a guy who I think is probably the best spiritual writer living today. With apologies to everybody else, but his name is Father Jacques Philippe. Father Jacques Philippe, and of course it's the French spelling, so it's J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, Philippe. I'm writing this out as I'm spelling. I'm the kind of guy, like the way my brain works, I have to write out words in order to spell them properly, and so it's P-H-I-L-L-I-P-E. I believe I'm correct on that. And Patrick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Father Jacques Philippe, he wrote a little book called Searching for and Maintaining Peace, subtitled A Small Treatise on Peace of Heart. That little book has helped me more than you could possibly. So he goes through all the situations that come up, like here's why most people worry. It's because of X, Y, and Z. And then here's what you do. Here's the remedy. And it's just so great. I wish I could memorize this book because it has helped me tremendously. One of the things that he said that really stood out to me, Jerry, was he said, you know, when Jesus says, "I give you my peace I leave with you. I do not give peace as the world gives." It's not a shaky peace. This is legitimate. Father Jacques Philippe says, those words carry the same force as the words that brought forth the stars, the heavens, the earth. Let there be. Let there be light. When God said, let there be light, you better believe there's light. So when he says, I give you my peace, he really did do it. He's giving, it's really there for you to take. You just got to tap into it. But when we worry, it's like we're saying no to that opportunity to exchange our worry for his peace. And to me, that's the greatest deal going out there. So that might be a little resource that you might want to look up, Jerry. It's a great book and it's helped me a lot. So I do really appreciate your phone call and your kind words.
Thank you.
Okay, you got it, Jerry. That was Jerry calling from Frankfort, Illinois. And we're going to go to another call right now. Jose is calling from South Texas. Oh, okay, hang on. Not quite there yet. Jose, okay, all right, he's there. Okay, Jose calling from South Texas. Jose, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kill.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show, Jose.
Thank you. I just want to say that, you know, I suffer from two things that keep me away from God, and it creates a lot of pain. I have been trying to overcome them for many years, and I would like to ask you for an advice. First of all, is gluttony. I always been overeating, and therefore obese. So, before 2020, 2019, I was closer to being on my normal weight.
Mm-hmm.
But then with all the stresses that happened because of the virus and other stuff at home, I started overeating again. And I'm back to where I was before I started a fit life, if you want to say. I feel horrible because not because of my appearance only, but more than anything, because I feel I'm failing God, that's a dreadful feeling that I have. And the other one is something that many people don't realize is that it's an issue, and that's, pornography. And that's something else I have been fighting for many years, going back and forth with getting out of it and going back to it. But once again, that seems to be one of the few, addictions that everybody seems to be fine with in the modern world. I just want to share that the fight is... Go ahead.
That's first of all, Jose, I really commend you for your honesty and your transparency in saying this. And I want to ask everybody who's listening right now on Relevant Radio to pray for Jose. And I do have some thoughts. Jose, we have to take a quick break here because this call is so important. I want to do justice to this topic that you brought up. And can you hang with me just for a minute? We're just going to take a very quick break here on Relevant Radio. Can you stay on the line, Jose?
Sure can. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. We just got to take a quick network break here, but we will be right back. This is really important. So come back for the answer to this. Okay. Because these are real questions, real topics. 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We are back. We're talking about the six sins that you didn't know that you were guilty of. And let's run through them once again just to recap. Fear. And God says, of course, do not fear. I am with you. Number two, comfort. Now, the cross wasn't exactly comfortable, was it? So we've got to sometimes leave behind this excessive love of comfort. Number three is worry, which is really the opposite of faith and trust. Number four, we talked about gluttony. And just to recap, because some callers, some listeners are calling, they're just flooding our phone line saying, what was the book that you mentioned? I didn't quite catch that. The book that I mentioned, I struggle with worry a lot. And a book that's really helped me in anxiety is Jacques Philippe, Father Jacques Philippe. And by the way, all his books are good. He's got so many great little spiritual books on prayer. One is called Time for God. Just so much great stuff. So all his stuff is great. Highly recommended. But the one about worry that really helped me a lot is called Searching for and Maintaining Peace. Searching for and Maintaining Peace. And we're actually going to have a link to it in the show notes. So Patrick Alog is going to put that in the show notes. So you can check that afterwards. And yeah, so that was a good one. We have Jose, who's joining me on the line. He's one of our frequent callers, faithful listeners here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And Jose, we were talking earlier just before the break about your very open and honest call saying that, hey, I'm really struggling with two things. Number one is gluttony, which we mentioned just a few minutes ago. And number two, you mentioned also struggling with pornography. And I think you're far from the only listener who's struggling with that stuff. And I really want to thank you for being open and honest about that and probably looking for some solutions on how to move past this and get to the next step. And Jose, are you still you still there? Okay, good. Just want to make sure you're still with me. So just a couple of things I would say about that. Let's talk about the aspect of gluttony first. And again, I'm far from being a psychologist, but we did allude to earlier, sometimes when we overindulge in food or drink, sometimes we're looking for something that we can really only find in God. Maybe at times we're overcompensating for things. And I've always been struck by something I heard in a talk once that was given. It was like a youth ministry talk I went to years and years and years ago. And I can't remember who this guy was, but the speaker once said, and this kind of covers really both issues of overindulging in whatever, or maybe being tempted to indulge in things like pornography. And this guy said, if you don't build legitimate, he called them fun fixes. If you don't build legitimate fun fixes into your life, you're going to eventually look for illegitimate fun fixes. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. So if we, because life is pretty stressful, work can be very stressful. And especially during this pandemic, and you mentioned that earlier in your phone call, Jose, it's been a really tough year for you and a lot of other people, obviously, during this pandemic. So how are you going to deal with that stress? And some people, they don't exactly find a healthy outlet for it. So it may be as simple as scheduling time for physical activity and exercise, because that really helps. It really helps to go for a run or play basketball or whatever it is that interests you, playing golf or something fun. It's not a sin to enjoy the great outdoors and the world that God has created. So that's one thing. And let me just give a comment about food for a second here, because I'll tell you, I, so far, thanks be to God, I haven't contracted COVID-19. I've been fully vaccinated. I know you can still carry it, so I try to be careful. But I have contracted, as I've said very often, the COVID-19 is, and I've gained at least 19 extra pounds during this pandemic. And because we're not as active anymore, and I used to play basketball in this league that we'd play every week, and that was really my one night. I knew I was going to get some solid exercise, but that all shut down. We still haven't picked it up. And so there's a tendency sometimes to be not active and to overeat. And I sometimes have to say to my wife, hey, don't even buy the chips. I don't even want it in the house, because if it's here, it's going to be too tempting. So removing yourself from the temptation is one big, big important thing. And then when it comes to the second thing, and they're kind of related in some ways, I saw a meme, Jose, that really struck me the other day on social media, and it was this: the devil knows your name, but he wants to call you by your sin, wants to remind you, oh, you did this. But God, he knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. You're not what you do. You know, you're a child of God, and that's always really important to remember. And so with respect to, you know, people who want to beat pornography, and it's not just guys too. One thing I've learned over the past few months in speaking to university students, this never happened until very, very recently. I give a lot of talks on theology of the body, and time and time again, I love speaking to university students in particular on this. And I've had time after time, young women come up to me and say, hey, I am addicted to pornography. So it's not just a guy thing anymore. This is all over the place. People are very open about it. They think, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. As you mentioned, Jose, the, you know, societal attitudes toward this are being more and more permissive all the time. And so it's a problem that really is out there in our culture, and we all have to deal with it. I think the number one thing to do is to keep going to confession, because sometimes you're tempted to just give up and say, well, you know, I'll never beat this. And you got to keep going to confession, because every time you go to confession, two things happen. Number one, the sin gets forgiven, which is incredible. But number two, you also get more grace from God for future struggles against that very thing. And people sometimes get embarrassed. Oh, Father, I'm confessing the same sin that you heard last week. I could practically replay my last confession. Well, you know, what do you want? New sins? You know, Scott Hahn told that story. He went to confession and said that to the priest, and that was his response. Well, what do you want? New sins? Be thankful that, you know, you're not struggling with more. So keep confessing, keep going back to the well again and again and again. Go as frequently as you need. And it's only the devil that doesn't want you to go to confession, right? So this is part of the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Just give it to him. Give him your sin, and you will get back. So eventually, over time, that's going to have an effect. But it may take some time, because sometimes sins can become ingrained and become habitual, and people's habits don't develop over a moment, and it takes a lot longer than a moment sometimes to root out that behavior. And so you got to replace the bad behavior with good behavior, with bad thoughts with good thoughts. And in this struggle for purity, the Blessed Virgin Mary is crucial, Jose. So always have an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary with you at all times, maybe a little prayer card or something you can stick in your jacket or your pocket, your wallet, or on your desk. And just when you think about her, she will help you in this fight for purity. So I think that's super important. Are these helpful thoughts in any way, Jose?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, so we'll keep praying for you, and everybody who's listening, please pray for Jose, and thank you for your honesty, and thank you for your struggle, and please keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you, Jose. That was Jose calling from South Texas. All right, we're going to go to Jerry, who's calling from New Jersey. Hey, Jerry.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me, Jerry? This is Cale.
Yes, I can hear you, definitely. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, you got it. What's on your mind?
Yep. Okay, so my friend in Texas, I had like a 20 years or 25 years pornography addiction. Actually, mm-hmm. I lost a marriage because of that too. And the way that I beat it was going to daily mass and feeling so guilty in front of the church, and then trying to get a confession and confessing the same thing for the Eucharist. And that daily mass, every day, if you do it every day, will work. That's what I told to my friend in Texas. Go every day to church. If you thought it's an hour, you should have mass at the nicest, because that's only half an hour, 25 minutes, a couple minutes before. And, you know, yeah. Try to do a confession in yourself. If your father's there, you can tell your sins. For that Eucharist, and going to every daily mass, he will clean him up. Because clean me, he clean anybody. I can tell you that right now. And I'm so happy, and of course, sometimes I got temptation, but I don't go over there. But the daily mass is the biggest cure. Of course, going Sunday too, but when you need that every day support, the daily mass, is amazing. You go in the morning, maybe 8 o'clock or 7:30, you're out of there at 8:15. You know, you can feel guilty all night, wake up in the morning feeling miserable, disgusting about yourself. And you see that on your knees, you know, lay on your knees and talk to God, and then have the Eucharist, that will clean him up.
Yeah, Jerry, I appreciate that. That's a great point. That was Jerry calling from New Jersey. Yeah, that's a great point, Jerry. Not just confession, but if you can try somehow to get to, now, if you can do it every day, that's ideal. That's ideal, because let's face it, sometimes it's a test of our faith, because we really do believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. If we really believe that Jesus is there, why wouldn't we want to be there every day? I mean, we do so many other things every day, like daily maintenance, brushing our teeth, hopefully you floss every day too. I know you get lazy with that sometimes too. But if we could receive Christ every day, we need to eat every day. Well, we also need spiritual sustenance as well to keep our spiritual life alive. And this is what the Eucharist does for us. And so just even if you can, if you're not used to it, I know it's a big adjustment for some people, because you have to make an effort to get to daily mass. You might have to do it before you go to work, or try to find, if you don't live in a place where, if you live in a big city, sometimes it's very easy to find daily masses at convenient times before work or after work or at lunchtime, but it's not always so easy. So sometimes it takes effort and ingenuity to get it done. And so it's a big adjustment, but where there's a will, there's a way. And if you could just try, for starters, trying to go to one daily mass outside of your Sunday mass time, that will make a huge difference if you can actually physically receive the Eucharist. Now, if you can't do that, there's always, of course, virtual masses, which we still have. Of course, our daily mass here at noon Central on Relevant Radio is always an option as well. But if you, obviously, the ideal is to go physically, to receive our Lord physically, if possible. That will make a tremendous difference over time in your spiritual life. And so that's really, really important as well. We need that fuel from the Eucharist. So thanks very much for that call, Jerry. Really appreciate that. And we're looking at, on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Looking right now at the the six sins that you didn't know that you were guilty of necessarily. We know about the seven deadly sins, but there are six other sins we do all the time. And yes, we don't even sometimes see them as sins. Fear, comfort, worry, gluttony. How about the fifth one? We got two more here. The fifth one is apathy. Apathy. And this is based on a piece by Leslie White writing at BeliefNet. And apathy is basically when we take things for granted. We can take God's love for granted. We can take God's forgiveness for granted too. And that's a sin of presumption, right? There's two sins that we don't want to fall into in particular. They're like two ditches on either side of the road. I think G.K. Chesterton said that. The sin of pride, which is, you know, God must forgive me. And then the other side of the coin, or the other ditch on the other side of the road, is despair. God can't forgive me. So, of course, you're not going to ask him if you don't think he'll forgive you. So you stay in your sin. That's not a good situation. So apathy would be more so somewhat related to pride, because it's taking the love of God for granted. So we can lose our fervor for God. We can lose our passion for Christ. And that's a big spiritual threat. And sometimes we don't think about this, but I once read a book on lukewarmness, and it was called Lukewarmness. I forget who wrote it, but it was called Lukewarmness, the Devil in Disguise. That's really what lukewarmness is. It's the devil in disguise. He's not going to come at you with a red cape and horns and a pitchfork in most cases. It's not going to be that obvious. It's going to be very subtle. And so if he could just, you know, that great line in the movie, The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. If you're just not thinking about God too much, he's got you right where he wants you. So coldness, indifference, lukewarmness, this can happen to all of us. And we know what Jesus said about this in the book of Revelation, the lukewarm Laodicean church. He says, I wish you were either cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. That's not a pretty image. I mean, Catholics should really be like coffee, right? Should be hot. We don't like lukewarm coffee. Sometimes we like a cold brew or you know, an iced cappuccino on a hot day. But realistically, we want our coffee piping hot. And Christ wants our souls to be that way as well. So if we're not passionate about it, the other thing too is that if we're not passionate about our faith, there's no way we're going to be able to spread this fire to anybody else. So we're just kind of having this meh attitude towards our faith. We can take it or leave it. That's not going to be super inspiring. So what can cause this? It's kind of related to something that we just talked about in a minute ago, Jose's phone call. When these temptations towards impurity, whether it's actually illicit sexual relationships or a use of pornography, that sort of thing, sins against purity, it kills your spiritual life in a couple different ways. You know, virtually all sexual sins are mortal sins, number one. Number two, it really just destroys your desire to evangelize others. It kills evangelism because it has a couple of different effects on you. Because you'll say to yourself, well, how can I preach to other people? How can I tell other people about Jesus if I'm struggling with, you know, this? You know, I am such a hypocrite. There's no way I could possibly presume to tell other people how to live, right? Well, that's another subtle trick of the enemy, right? If you're struggling against it, if you're in the fight, that's what's important. It's getting up off the canvas. And then the second thing that happens is if people give into it, the second thing that can happen is, now maybe you can say, like, I know this is wrong. I don't know why I'm doing this. I can't seem to stop. That's one thing. But some people go to the other extreme and say, well, I'll never be able to defeat this. I'm just going to have to accept that this is a sin that I'm just going to commit over and over and over again. So I'm just going to have this be my one little thing that I keep doing, and I'll try. No, you can't give in to that, because then you go down this slippery slope, and then at the end of the day, you start justifying these sins, saying, well, these aren't actually sins at all, and it's actually okay for Christians or Catholics to be committing these things. It's not that bad. And it could even lead to you leaving the faith altogether, because let's face it. When you look at things, folks, when you look at the reasons why people don't want to be Catholic, it's not because, man, I just can't bring myself to believe in the hypostatic union of the two natures of Christ. You know, I just can't buy into this theological idea, or the Trinity. How does that work? How can there be three persons, one God? Yeah, we could have legitimate questions about that, but for most people, it's the moral teachings of the church. That's why they don't want to be Catholic. And that's why they can't buy into it, because very often they're actually committing these sins, and they know that they're going to have to change. So it's either I change to be more conformed to Christ, or I try to justify it and continue on with it because I want to keep doing it. And so I'll do all kinds of mental gymnastics to say, so just be honest with yourself. Don't give in to that attitude and say, no, the sin is still sin. Christ came to save sinners, and he can turn it around. He can help me. So believe that. He wants to do that. And so I have so much to say about this, but we got to take a quick break right now. So if you're on the line, I see you there. Hang with me. I'll get your calls in just a second. 888-914-9149. Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Welcome back to the Cale Clark Show. Yep, some Olympic music for you there. We're going to try to squeeze this in a minute. What we can learn as Catholics from Simone Biles' withdrawal from the Olympics for mental health reasons. But the thing I want you to get out of this is not necessarily a mental health thing. It's something else, but we'll get to that in just a second. Just want to, first of all, remind you what Patrick Alog wanted me to remind you what day it is today. It's Friday, and Daniel Craig... What else?
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
The weekend is here. All right. We had to get that one in. We do that every Friday. Okay, so let's finish up this little piece here on the six sins that you didn't know you were committing. We were just talking about the fifth one, which is apathy, lukewarmness. And it's kind of related to some of the other stuff we were talking about impurity and all that sort of thing. King David, right, when he sinned with Bathsheba, what did he try to do? He tried to bury the evidence, literally. I mean, he committed adultery and then murder, had Bathsheba's husband killed, tried to cover up the crime. Well, it didn't work. Things went from bad to worse. And the prophet Nathan had to confront him on his sin and say, "You're the man." And he finally repented when he was called on the carpet. And so sometimes when we sin, the last thing we want to do is the best thing for us, which is run to God. Sin makes us want to run away from God because we feel ashamed. We've got to run to him because God is ever forgiving. He wants us to. All right, so that was the fifth one. Again, just to run through these quickly once again, the six sins we don't know that we're committing, necessarily fear, excessive fear, not trusting in God. Do not fear, I'm with you, says God. Excessive love of comfort. Worry, number three. Gluttony, number four. That can be really a condition of the heart, trying to fill the void for God that we have in our souls with other things in the created world. Number five is apathy, this lukewarmness. And the last thing is lying. And sometimes we like to think that little white lies are okay. Sometimes even bigger lies are okay. And the more you do it, as with most sins, the more used to it you get, and you can this can really snowball. So Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So our speech should really be truthful. St. Paul says, do not lie to one another, because you've put off that old sinful nature when you came to Christ, and you've really got to change your ways. And again, King David, adultery led to all kinds of... The cover-up is always worse than the crime in some ways, and so it led to lies, led to murder. It was worse in his case, and so that's the sixth thing. So, yeah, you can listen to the podcast this episode if you missed any of this. The podcast will be about an hour after the show. All right. Well, let's go to the phone right now. Let's go to the phones really quick. Sophia is calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear your voice. What's on your mind?
Well, I had some, I guess, a big question or big category question about the sacrament of marriage and preparation for that. And then it kind of ties to how to prepare yourself in preparing for the sacrament in general. Like, how do you prepare yourself for that? And if you find yourself falling to, I guess, all six of those categories or some of them, how do you... Mm-hmm. I guess make it past that, and I don't know, become a better person for your I guess your engaged I guess partner or future spouse.
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, congratulations on your impending marriage, Sophia. And in terms of preparation for marriage, if you're worried that you're not ready, don't worry, because you're never ready. it's marriage is a saint-making factory, because we're supposed to help the other person become a saint. In fact, we are used by God to help that person become a saint. And hopefully it's not because we're causing them to suffer. Hopefully it's because we're helping to sanctify them, and they're helping to sanctify us. And so your spouse is in many ways your path to heaven. And a lot of times we worry about a lot of stuff that's going to happen in the future. And this is part of my, one thing I've learned about worry in general is that God, another reason why it's ridiculous to worry is because God has not given you the grace for what's going to happen tomorrow, because tomorrow isn't here yet. That's what Jesus said in the gospel. Sufficient unto today is the trouble, right? So just trust God for today. He'll give you what you need for tomorrow. And so, of course, you're worried about it because you haven't gotten there yet, and he hasn't given you the grace for that moment yet. And so he will give you what you need. And it's a process. It is absolutely a process. And I am excited for you. And I think this is part, keep working on yourself, I would say, too. We don't have time to get into a whole treatise on marriage and prepping for it, but the whole Jerry Maguire thing, if you remember that movie, You Complete Me, that's not right. It's not, you know, 0.5 plus 0.5 equals one whole person. No, it's really one times one in a certain sense. You got to be a whole person going into it. Don't look for marriage to fill any gaps that you have. You got to work on that with God and become as whole and as healthy as you can spiritually going into it. And don't put too much on the other person. Put a role on this spouse that only God can fill. So let Jesus be the spouse of your soul first. And within that call, there's this call within a call to marriage. This is how you're living out your vocation of holiness. So there's so much we could say about this. But we'll certainly pray for you, Sophia, as you're getting ready to enter into the wonderful sacrament of marriage. And so really quickly, just we've almost run out of time here, but I did want to mention this about why this withdrawal by Simone Biles from the Olympics, it's a lesson to us. It's a lesson to us. And I read a great piece on this from Chris Llewellyn, writing at Premier Christianity. And obviously, there's a lot of reaction, a lot of chatter, a lot of pundits on Twitter and wannabe pundits who had a hot take on Simone Biles, and some real vitriol was thrown at her. Piers Morgan said this was a joke. Someone named Aaron Wrights, a Texas deputy attorney general, called Simone Biles a, quote, selfish, childish, national embarrassment that she withdrew from the Olympics. She's the greatest gymnastics athlete of all time. And Dominique Dawes, who's on the program recently, Olympic gold medalist in that sport, concurred with that. But of course, a lot of people rallied to her defense too, including somebody who would know, somebody who had the weight of the world on his shoulders at the Olympics many, many times, the most decorated American Olympian ever, swimmer Michael Phelps. He had this to say on NBC with Mike Tirico.
Obviously, the big story around the Olympics is Simone Biles. You're uniquely qualified as the face of a Games going in to understand that pressure. As you've watched the last 12 or 14 hours, what have been your reactions to what you've seen?
The Olympics is overwhelming. There's a lot of emotions that go into it. There's a lot of... I could talk to you about this for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way for me to say it is, I think athletes and Olympic athletes in general, I mean, talking about weight of gold, we need someone who we can trust. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can let us be ourselves and listen, mm-hmm. Allow us to become vulnerable. Somebody who's not going to try and fix us. You know, we carry a lot of things, a lot of weight on our shoulders. And it's challenging, especially when we have the lights on us and all of these expectations that are being thrown on top of us. So it broke my heart.
Yeah.
But also, if you look at it, mental health over the last 18 months is something that people are talking about.
All right, that's Michael Phelps there. That was that also generated a lot of interest. Those words that he said, very powerful. I think spiritually speaking, we can get a lot out of this. St. Jose Maria Escrivá once said this in his masterwork, The Way, and this is a very simple point. Get used to saying no. It takes a lot of inner strength sometimes to say no to the expectations of others. Boundaries are really, really important. And sometimes the best thing to do, toughness, grit-wise, is to make a tough call that might disappoint other people, but it'll prevent you from running into the ground. Because spiritually speaking, we've got to put our own oxygen mask on first. I'll have much more to say about this next week. We've run out of time right now on the Cale Clark Show, but I don't want to let the show pass without thanking Jake Moore, who took all your calls today. This is Jake's last day at Relevant Radio. And Jake, I just want to thank you for all your great work in this last year that I've been working with you. I'm so sad that you're moving on, but I'm sure it's to greener pastures.
You're very kind, Cale. I honestly love what you do here. I love your show. You are just such a great addition to Relevant Radio, and it has just been nothing but an honor to work with you. And best of luck to you.
Well, what's your Twitter handle, Jake?
I got rid of my personal Twitter, but I will say follow at Drew Mariani Show, because that's the Twitter I was on. Yeah. So.
That's right. Well, Jake, God bless you. Patrick Alog, produced, sitting in for Lucas today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.